Come on, can we give our bucket holders a hand this morning? We love our kids. With that, kids, you're going to hang with us. I almost just did it. I told everyone this morning we have a baby dedication. I told all our people, don't dismiss our kids. And I almost just did it. Out of habit. But we are so excited. We get to be a part of joining with a family. We just did this a couple weeks ago, and I love joining with families because it means new life is happening, and that is a beautiful thing. And so we love, that's one of my favorite things that we get to do as a church is celebrate new life. Amen? And I'd love to have baby dedications every single Sunday if that meant there was new life that was being added to our church. And so we get to join with the family. The Bible is very clear about us gathering together around families, around special moments like this, and dedicating them to the Lord and bringing their child that is a gift. The Bible says children are a blessing. And all you parents that had a rough morning, give me a big amen. Amen. Okay. Say it till you believe it, right? Sometimes children are a blessing. And so we get to honor and celebrate an amazing blessing this morning. And so before I invite this family up, I'm just excited. They're all my favorites, but this family is special to us. It's really interesting. As you grow up, you think you're like forever young. Anyone else have that problem? And then you realize that your babysitter that used to babysit your own kids starts having kids. And so this young lady, she babysat our little boys when they were like babies, and now they have their own. And so it's just an honor that we get to bring them before and celebrate with them. We don't do this behind closed doors because there's just an importance of keeping it before the family of God, because we all have a part to play in seeing the success of our children. Again, your part is not to parent this family. Your part is to pray for God's blessing upon this family. Your part is to encourage this family, because I'm telling you right now, the parenting thing is not for the faint of heart. And once you have kids, it's kind of like, you don't really have any options. You're like, got to figure this thing out. And so we can take all the prayer we can get. And especially in the world that we live in today, our parents need all the prayer, all the encouragement that they can get. And so that's why we do it in front of the family this morning, the church family. So would you, I'm going to invite, and I'm just going to, be honest here. I usually would go to them and make sure I'm pronouncing everything correctly, but I forgot this morning. But we are going to invite Danielle and Durago Aramehi, there it is, Aramehi. Would you guys come up with your beautiful family? Would you welcome Danielle, Durago, as they bring little Sophia, Christine this morning? And I think we're going to have grandparents. Would you come as well? The grandparents of this beautiful family. I tell you, aren't they amazing and beautiful? They make good-looking kids, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But we are so excited to join with you guys. You can come right up here, and we'll get this out of the way. But tell you, what a beautiful family. What a great legacy. Drago's parents are here this morning. You guys can come in front here, and I'll kind of get to the side of you. It's good to see you guys. Good to see you. God bless you. As I said, we get to join with them. And God has entrusted Danielle and Durago with their two little girls. And what I love, Danielle and Durago, is that God didn't just give them to you and say, good luck. But God has a plan for you, and he's placed amazing family around both of you. If you know anything about both of their families, they're amazing. They're incredible legacy, incredible gifts, and incredible support that exists around this family. And so we're so confident in the God that you serve that you're going to just raise healthy, amazing, young warrior princesses that love God. They have girls, they got that going for them, and they're beautiful. We might be praying some selfish prayers, of a family of four sons with daughters, so maybe we can, work something out down the road, but we'll see. We can talk later, but they're just beautiful, beautiful daughters. And I was thinking about Sophia Christine. And if you know anything about Sophia's name, I didn't until this week, but it's amazing. And it means skilled and wisdom. The Greek talks about her name meaning wise. And I was thinking about wisdom and even the heritage that exists in your family of from both sides that is wise. And there's a lot that can be passed on from generation. And I was reminded of the scripture in Psalms 111. I'm going to read it so I don't butcher it. But it says this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding, and to him belongs eternal praise." And I was thinking about Sophia, whose name means skilled in wisdom. And tell you, what a combo, right? To not just be skilled, but to be wise. I tell you, that's just a you know, 1-2 punch that's going to be awesome as she grows up. But I was thinking about it and reading that scripture. And my prayer over her life is that she would have a revelation of how good our God is. You know, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that word fear doesn't talk about like I'm scared of, but it talks about in reverence, or it talks about in awe. And so my prayer for Sophia is that she would be one that stands in awe of who God is. And that out of her revelation of God's goodness, I believe that she's going to be filled with wisdom. And if I look at our generation and even the generation that my kids are a part of, as are yours, and I think about a lot of things that I believe my kids need and I believe that the next generation needs. And that's a revelation of the awe of God. Because when they have a revelation, when Sophia has a revelation of who God is, she's going to serve him all of her days. And as is Bella and your future children, if that's in the works. But we are just so honored to be a part of this day. And we get to join with you in prayer and just praying that even as she grows up, that she would know who God is. And what I love about it, I was reading in Deuteronomy, and it says that our kids learn things not just by osmosis or because it's just happens, but it's because it's talked about in the home. And so I just encourage you guys to tell your daughters the stories of how God met you. Tell your daughters the stories of that time that he was real to you, because there was an awe that took place in your hearts. And I believe that as you talk about it, Sophia and your other children are going to fall in love with that same God. And so we get to just pray over Sophia and just commit her life to the Lord. And Body, I'm going to ask a couple things. I'm going to ask that you would stand with us, because you have a part to play, and we're going to just stretch out our hands. I'm going to pray, you know, parents, we can put our hands on them, and we just want to honor the Lord and bless this amazing gift. Would you join with me this morning? Father God, I thank you for this incredible family. Father, for Danielle and Drago and for their families that raised Danielle and Drago in the ways of the Lord. And God, we're so grateful for the godly heritage that exists in this family. Father, that there's been prayers that have been prayed three generations ago. And God, we know that we are reaping the benefits of those prayers, and we are reaping the blessings because of the countless prayers that have been prayed over Danielle Drago and the future children. And God, we are honored to join with them today as they bring their family and Sophia Christine to you. God, and we thank you that she, just like her namesake, is one who is wise. Father, and we even speak that over her from a young age, that she would be one who understands the fear of the Lord, God, that she would grow up and she would be in awe of you. Father, that her life would just be consumed with who you are. Father, and out of that, God, we believe that you're going to use her as a voice, Father, to her friends, a voice to her generation. Father, that even from a young age, I believe that you can fill her with wisdom that is beyond her years. God, and that she would be one who leads others into the just the reality of who our God is. Father, we pray a special blessing and protection over their home. Father, and even Danielle and Drago, as they are doing their best to honor you with the gifts that you've given them. Father, would you bless their marriage? God, would you bless their home? Father, would you continue to use them to be a light in a dark world? And God, we thank you for who they are. God, and ask that they would just talk of you would be frequent in their home as they share with their daughters about how you met them. God, we thank you and we join with them. God, we commit her, Sophia, to you. Father, we thank you for the plans that you have for this family and for both of their daughters. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand? Certificate. They have a certificate for you. So. Love you. Thank you. I'll give you a hug. Awesome. I love that. Awesome. Well, at this time, are we good? Kids, are we ready? Parents, you are more than welcome to walk your children back, but at this time, all of our kids and our middle schoolers, you may be released. I see Ben in the back for middle school, and kids, you are released through these double doors. Again, parents, feel free to walk them back. Well, we're going to have a little bit of fun. It's been pretty fun so far, but we're going to continue to have fun. How many of you this morning are excited to watch the Super Bowl later on today? All right, let me see your hands, huh? Really? 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 How many of you in the name, you know, under God watching are not going to watch the Super Bowl today? Okay. And then some of you just aren't participating, and I just want to tell you this morning, that is no fun. That is no fun. Well, I'm going to have my wife come up here this morning. She never knows. I'm just going to tell you this morning, based on our outfits, who you think we're rooting for.
What, who are you rooting for?
We don't know who we're rooting for. We just, it looks like the Rams colors. I can tell you right now, you can be seated, right? You probably will never hear me say I'm rooting for the Patriots, except for this year. And I've got a plan, and so I won't tell you my plan. But this morning, is there anyone here that is rooting for the Patriots with me? Okay, good. You know what? Good. Because I'm going to give you a muffin. Because you're rooting for the Patriots with me. And I want to talk about our muffin. These muffins are called Seattle's favorite muffins. And again, I don't know if they mean it literally. Okay, so don't like Google it. Is it really Seattle's favorite? It's just a name. But we are so excited for our coffee cart because we are going to be carrying muffins. And I want to tell you, this week I had the privilege of sampling or eating two muffins. And I can tell you firsthand, you want one of these muffins. It will change at least your morning because they are so good. And here's the deal. I need you to buy these muffins because if I continue to eat two muffins a day, we will be talking about my muffin top. As I eat these muffins. And so they're for sale in our coffee cart today. We're trying them out. Just a fun thing to do. But this morning, I should have thought of this, but I want to give a couple more muffins away this morning. And so I just, who wants a muffin? All right. See, Sarah wants a muffin. So Sarah, we're gonna give you a muffin. We're going to throw muffins. You know what? This is kind of like a Frisbee. All right, the last one I'm going to give. Okay, we're going to try something. I hope we're up to date on our insurance policy because this is kind of like a Frisbee. You know, I just want to apologize. Anyone that's right here, it's nothing personal. I'm not a very good Frisbee thrower. Noah? All right, here we go. That works. So, for those of you that didn't get a muffin, you can, for $2, go get yourself a muffin and try them. They're good. We're hoping we have to buy more, but it's just a fun thing. You can eat those now, but just a fun thing that we get to do and just have to just have some fun, and it's awesome. So, get a muffin after the service. Amen? I tell you, told you we'd have fun on this Super Bowl, and I probably won't give you any more Super Bowl references for at least the next 35 minutes. But after that, all bets are off. I will predict. Well, I told you I wouldn't talk about it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But I'm excited, probably more than the Super Bowl, I'm excited that we're starting a new series today, a new sermon series that I believe is going to catapult us for the first part of the year. As we prayed and as we fasted, I felt like for months God's just put a word in my heart of some things that he's been telling us. And so I hope you're ready. I hope you're excited. The title of our message today is called Stretch. Stretch. And again, as we meet muffins, they're probably going to experience some stretching going on. stretch, but we're going to be talking about expanding our limits to encounter God. Amen. We want to expand the limits to encounter God. And so the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about stretch and different elements. And I think it's a common word that we use. And as I get older, I am learning the importance of stretch. We're not talking to do anything athletic. We're just talking like to do anything. Because the other day, my wife and I don't remember what we did, but the next day I was sore. I was like, well, what did I do? And she's like, oh, you know, you walked to your car twice. I'm like, okay, that's pathetic. I need help and a gym membership, but that's a different story because I shouldn't be needing to stretch to do some normal things. But I think as I get older, I realize the importance of stretching. We're talking in a physical sense right now. We're talking in a real sense. Where years ago I could show up to an athletic field with high schoolers or teenagers and, you know, it'd be okay. I could perform on the field. I could do whatever I do. I could keep up with them. I could beat them. It was good. But unfortunately, for the next 3 or 4 days after that, they're out doing it again, and I am like putting like peas on my knees and ice on my neck, and it's just bad. And I realize that if I don't stretch anymore, things are gonna break. Things are gonna get brittle and fragile. And I think on a physical sense, you know, we all can say amen and our knees don't get any younger. But I think also from a spiritual sense, I think there's an importance in the spiritual sense that we are always being stretched by God. Because as the older we get and the more mature we get in our faith, sometimes the more set in our own ideas and our own ways we get. And I believe the Lord would say to us spiritually is he wants us to stretch. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be expectant for the things that he wants to do in us. And so I think there's an element of in the spiritual world of stretching. Because tell you what, I don't want to break. I don't want to be brittle when God asks us to do something that we've never done before. Amen? And I don't want you to break. And I don't want you to become brittle and hard and because you're not ready for the things that God wants to do in your life. And here's what I know this morning is God is calling us up. Come on. I'm going to pull it out of us this morning. God is calling us up today. God is calling you out today. God is saying there's more that he has in store for your life than what you're currently experiencing. Okay, there is more this morning. You know, there is exploits. There is miracles. There are people that God wants to bring into his kingdom through your life that you have not seen yet. How many believe that for their life? Okay, or is it just me? Because I believe that there is more in the kingdom of God than what we've seen. And that there is an element that God wants to do in us that is unlike anything you've experienced before. And so we're going to look at these dreams over the next several weeks. We're going to talk about stretching. And the idea of talking about it isn't to get discouraged on the things that we're not seeing. How many know that's not God's heart? Okay, God's heart isn't to tell you, you know, where you need to stretch because he just wants to, like, make you feel bad about yourself. Tell me, there's many other reasons why I could feel bad about myself. God's not one of them. Okay, there's a lot of other things I can look at. But the idea is that we can look at the purposes that God has for our life and we could say, God, we want what you have in store for us. Not what we think you have in store for us, but we want what you want. Amen? So not to discourage us today, and I want to encourage you, if you are new to the Lord, we're so glad you're here today. If you are new to church, I'm so glad you're here today. Because here's what I love about God, is God takes me as I am. Amen? When I was 14 years old and I had an encounter with God, God took me as a 14-year-old young man, but I am so grateful that he accepted me at 14 in all of my goofiness and all of my weirdness and all of my unbiblicalness. God accepted me, God loved me, and God said, I have a plan for your life. Aren't you grateful that he did that in your life as well? Come on. But I am more grateful that God did not leave me in my immature state that I was as a 14-year-old young man. because God accepts us where we are. God receives us, but God has more for our lives than we even can ask, think, or imagine. And God has a plan to see us grow up from wherever you were to wherever he wants you to be. So if you're new this morning, I want to encourage you that God loves you where you're at, but God has a plan to see you grow. And God has dreams that you can only imagine for your life. And he wants to walk you through that process. And I believe this, for our church, but the church of America, the church of the world, I believe that God is calling church to expand and stretch like we've never stretched before. There is some spiritual whatever moves you want to do that you've never done before. There are some things that he wants us to encounter, and it's going to require that we do something that we've never done before, that we think in ways we've never thought before. Because he wants us to walk in things that we've never walked in before. This last year, I'll share more about this later, but three different occasions, God put me in the presence of different men of God. Well, more than three times, but three specific times, I was with three different men of God, and we were in an atmosphere of prayer together. And three different times, three different occasions, three different men had the exact same scripture that they wanted to share with me. And coincidence, right? No. I believe that it was God using these men to share what God wanted to say to me, but also say to me as a representation of this house. And so I believe it's a word that God was given to this house, and it's a familiar passage of scripture, and it was actually a prophecy that was given to the Israelites in the Old Testament. And so we can make some parallels to our life today. I think anything that God spoke is applicable to our lives. Amen. Whether I'm of Jewish descent or not, as a child of the kingdom of God, there's things that I can walk in as I read back through my Bible, and things that you can walk in as well. So turn in your Bibles. I want to read this to Isaiah 54, and it's we're going to start at verse 1. It seems like a good place to start, but this is the word that three different men said, hey, I got this scripture for you. I want to read it, and it was got pretty comical towards the last guy that did it. He's like, hey, have you ever read this? And I'm like, dude, I've heard this scripture twice in the last like 2 months. So this is comical that God is working this way. But it says this. It says, sing, O barren one, you who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who's married, says the Lord. And there's a lot of meaning in there. Verse 2, this is the crux of what was spoke to me. It said this, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. And do not hold back. Did I say, and be stretched out? Did I say that? And be stretched out, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right, to the left, and your children will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Do not be confounded, for you will not be disgraced, for you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Okay, that's the word that God gave me. And so before you start thinking in your head, because I know we all had pictures in our mind, before you start thinking about mansions and helicopters and more church services and anything on the physical, I believe this, that before God wants to enlarge you in a physical realm, which I believe he wants to bless his people, amen? I believe physically God wants to bless his people. I believe God wants to turn the wicked of the wealth of the wicked, and he wants to give it to the righteous. I believe that. But before we start talking about that, I believe this, that God is after something in our hearts. That God wants to enlarge the capacity of your heart so that you will be able to see more, you will be able to think differently. There is some heart surgery that God wants to do on his people to prepare them for the things that he wants to do in the future. And so before we start talking mansions and helicopters, God wants to do some work on our heart today. And I believe over the next 4 weeks that he is wanting to change your thinking. You maybe thought a certain way for, I don't know, however old you are. This is just the way I've always thought. Well, can I challenge you today to say, God, if you want to change my thinking, would you change my thinking? God, if you want to change my mindset on how I've thought church or how I've thought this or how I've thought that, Father, I want to be stretched so that I can carry everything that he has for me. Amen? Because that's what God is after in this scripture. Because there is something that he has for us. There's a spiritual inheritance that he wants to give you. But he's not going to give the inheritance if we're not ready to receive the inheritance. Yeah, I believe that there is untapped potential that God is looking at. And God is saying, I see more in you than you see in yourself. Yeah. I believe that there is areas of ministry that God has prepared for his people. And he says, would you enlarge your mind? Would you enlarge your heart to receive those things? And here's what I know. When God is talking about stretching the body of Christ, isn't it great that I'm talking to your neighbor? Right? When God is talking about stretching, he's talking about the church. Okay, he's talking about, politely tap your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Come on, now point your fingers at me and say, he's talking about you. All right, thanks, Jody. Right, God is talking about us. He's saying, I want to stretch you because I have things that you want to walk in. Would you allow yourself to change? Okay, he is stretching the body of Christ. He's talking about us. Here's what I know. When you make room for God, okay, imagine what we're talking about is like your life or a house. When you make room for God and clear some space and think differently, guess what happens? He shows up. When you make room for God, the beautiful thing is God will fill the space of your heart. Every time. I remember when my wife and I had 910 square feet that we called ours. And it was an awesome 910 square feet. And we had two kids, and it shrinks up. And so we always thought, man, we just must be cluttered people. We just need a bigger house so we can not feel as cluttered. Right? Logical. And then what happens? You get a big house, and then you're like, where'd the space? The same thing was with the Lord. When you make room for God, just like you fill your physical space, when you make room for God in your heart, he shows up and fills the space with the things that he has for your life. Okay, that's a biblical principle. Okay, you make room for God, and he's going to fill it, and he's going to show up. Okay, I believe that there is a delicate balance between being content but not satisfied. How many of you know we're called to be content with the area, with our own life, right? We're called to be content. But I want to encourage you to be content where the Lord has you, but don't be satisfied with that's all that the Lord has for you. Okay, we can be content, but don't be satisfied. You know, unfortunately, I've met so many people. It's like, have you ever met those people that they go through their life and they can't even enjoy what's going on in their life today because they're always anticipating about 5 years down the road? Right? And I think to some degree, I've been guilty of that over the years, where it's been hard for me to enjoy the season God has me in because I'm God. I go, God, but that's I know that's not it. And God would say, would you be content but not satisfied? And so this morning, I hope I'm speaking to the right crowd because I hope you're content with where God is, but you're not satisfied with your relationship with God because I believe there's more. And there's another biblical principle that's going on here, and it's the principle of this, that we prepare now for the things that God has already prepared for us in the future. Okay, there is a preparation now for the things that God has already prepared you for that you're not walking in yet. Okay, there are things that God is saying, you don't have them now, but I want you to prepare to have those things. Okay, I believe God would say that that there's things that he wants you to walk in now. There's things that he wants to show you that you don't see at this present state, but it's not that you're not going to see those things forever. Okay, there is a preparation now to receive the future things that God has already prepared for you. Would you turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2? And I love it, and I'm going to read it in a different translation, starting at verse 10, and it says this. It says, "We have become his poetry." Okay, his recreated people that will fulfill the destiny that he's given each of us. Can I just say this morning that you are a masterpiece? That God looks at your life and he says, they're amazing. They're beautiful. They're awesome. They have everything that they need to succeed. Can I just tell you that this morning? That you are a masterpiece in God's eyes. That's what Ephesians said. But then it goes on and it says this. Even before we were born. Okay, hello, we're talking before you were born, okay, so back it up a little bit. Even before you were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works that we would do to fulfill it. Listen, there is a future planning that God has already planned for your life that he wants you to prepare for now to walk in the future. Okay, he has already done it. Okay, so the good news is God prepares things in advance. Okay, and I don't know if you're the same way as me, but I sometimes look at my life in segments, and it's hard for me to see the whole picture. Anyone else have that problem? But here's the beautiful thing, is that God sees the whole picture. God sees the whole picture. And I think about it in my own life. I think a lot of times because of my lack of preparation, because of my lack of preparing for the things God has, I very rarely receive the things that he wants me to walk in because I'm not ready to handle those things. And that's the picture this morning, is God's not going to give you something that you're not ready to handle. He's not going to crush you with the plans, but he says, I have great plans for you. Would you get your heart ready for those things? You know, looking back through the scripture, when God's people prepared, he always does his part. Can I say that to us this morning? He always does his part. Okay, I look back. I look at Joseph. God told Joseph, you start preparing for a famine. And guess what happened? They had food for when the famine came. He went to a man named Noah. We learned this in kids' class on Wednesday night. He came to a man named Noah and said, Noah, I know it's never rained yet, but I want you to build a boat. And we're not talking like a Saturday chores boat, like, oh yeah, I built a boat for 3 hours. No, we're talking like 75 years-ish. Hey, Noah, it hasn't rained yet. We don't know what rain is. Build a boat for 70, your whole life, Noah, right? 75, that's a long time. I'm still halfway through boat building, people. Okay, if I'm Noah. But he was prepared and he was ready for when God showed up. I look at the disciples. Jesus told the disciples, I want you to prepare some loaves and some fish. Like, I don't know how long it takes to prepare a couple loaves and a couple fish, but they prepared what God told them to do. So when he showed up, they were ready to partner with his spirit. And I look at today, I look at Jesus. Jesus is no longer here, but he's gone on to be with the Father, and he is preparing a place for us. Amen? So there's this principle. When God's people prepare, God shows up. You know, I think about the different things that keep us from preparing or different things that keep us from stretching, if we're talking about that this morning. And I think we sang about it, right? I think fear is one of those real things that keeps people from expanding into the horizons that God has for them. And I think about all the different fears. I mean, there's some crazy fears out there, people. You Google, like, what are people scared of? And it's like napkins and all sorts of weird stuff. Like, okay, I'm glad I don't have that fear. I got mice and that kind of stuff, but not napkins. Clowns may be a real fear for people. But if you research all the fears, probably the number one greatest fear that people struggle with is when they look back over their life towards the end of their life and they realize, have I lived up to the potential that I could have lived up to? That is the number one fear in the human heart, is that they would have missed something that they could have walked in their life. And my heart is, I don't want to see us miss our potential. I don't want to see us go, why, coulda, woulda, shoulda, wished I woulda type of dance. Have you ever had a business idea and thought, man, that is a $1 million idea, and you didn't do anything about it, and then like 2 years later, someone's doing it. Anyone ever have that? Man, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? I don't want to die with regret. I don't want this church to move on with regret, with living half our potential. Come on. God has more than you're currently walking in. And so we want to set our sights on the more. Okay, I think fear is a real thing. I think another thing that keeps us from stretching, and Paul talks about it in Philippians 3:13. It says this, brothers or sisters, I do not consider that I've made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. I think one of the reasons that we don't stretch into the things that God has for us is we are too busy living our lives by our past failures or yesterday's success. All right. You know, I think many of us in this room are still haunted by our past mistakes. You're still haunted by the sin that entangled you. You're still haunted by the decisions that you made that you think no one can ever love me. Listen, there is many of us in this room that are still being told we have to live based off of what we did in the past. The failures. You'll never make it in your business because you already failed once. You never will make it in your marriage because you've already failed once. You'll never make it in your marriage because your parents didn't make it. Come on. Failure wants to limit you in every aspect where God wants to stretch you and expand you. Okay, there is too many of us that are being defined by our past failures and past mistakes. Okay, the flip side, many of us in this room, we keep going back to the good old days. Come on, it's good to reminisce. Right, I'm going to do it with my kids too. When I was 8, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's good to reminisce, but I cannot survive on yesterday's blessing when God has a new one for me. Listen, when I was 16 years old, that was probably one of my favorite times in my relationship with God because it felt like a honeymoon, right? It felt just like it's all good and it's just groovy and God is so close to me. But I'm telling you right now that I cannot survive on that level of spiritual maturity as a 37-ish year old man as I did when I was 16. Right? I cannot go, I remember when, you know, when God just met me and just live off of yesterday's glory when God has future promises that we get to walk in. Okay? And I think as a church we get, not as this church, okay, but I think as Christians we get set in the move that God did and we forget about the move that God is doing and wants to do in our lives. Okay, so we cannot keep going back to yesterday's success because in doing that we're going to rob ourselves from God's future success for our life. Come on. I believe this with my whole heart, that if the people that exist in this room today and the people that aren't here today that will be here next week, if we allow God to stretch our minds, stretch our hearts, expand the capacity of hearts, the amount of people that exist in our church alone will be more than enough to change the atmosphere of our city. Will be more enough than to make an impact in our schools. Okay, just the people that currently exist. So back to Isaiah, some 700 years after God spoke to the Israelites and said, stretch your tent, okay? Get ready, right? Paul in Galatians 4:28, he's going back to that scripture and he's reminding his people, his Gentiles. How many of you know Paul was called the minister to the Gentiles? Okay, the scripture was written to the Jewish people. Listen, there is an application for us, if you are a non-Jewish person, there is an current application for Old Testament prophecy in your life today. Okay, and Paul's talking about it in Galatians, and he's reciting Isaiah 54, and he goes on and he says, hey, if you've been barren, it's your time to sing. If you've been fruitless, get ready because you're going to bear some fruit. And so you and I need to understand, because of adoption, come on, because we've been adopted by God, we get to receive the full inheritance that he has for us. Listen, it doesn't matter if you are not Jewish, because God sent his son Jesus for the Jew and the Gentile, we get a crack at that inheritance. Listen, there are promises that we get a walk in because we share the same last name, because I am a Christian, okay? I am a Jesus follower. Okay, so today my message is, hey, we want to expand the limits that we've placed on ourselves. And I think the reality is, if I'm just being honest in my own life, in my wife's life, because I can speak for her, and a lot of people I know, a lot of us are living our life with caps on, you know, with a lid. Like, hey, this is as much as God can do in me because I don't have an education, because I don't have a rich spiritual heritage I'm drawing from, right? We put limits on ourselves of how much God can use us based on our experience, based on how long we've been a Christian, maybe. Could be a lid that we put on ourselves. And so my question this morning is, what kind of lid have you put on yourself? Think about it, right? What kind of lid? And what are those limitations based on? Are they based on what the Word of God says about you, or are they based on what man has put upon you? Because we talk about limits, and a lot of times we try to live our life based on the limits that man puts upon us, not on the limits that God puts upon us. And here's what I know, is that there's more that God has for you, and he wants to fill that space. Yes. And I'm so grateful this past year, one of the personal words that I got given is, a pastor friend of mine said, God's going to surround you this year with other men and other ministers and other pastors. You're going to find friends this year in the ministry. And I heard that word and I thought, this guy's missed it, because I've got great friends. I've got great support. I meet with the Maple Valley pastors every week, man. You know, what are you talking about it? And I can honestly say that this year, God surrounded me with men, pastors that aren't in Maple Valley, that are nationwide, and they have become like a lifeblood to me. That God has fulfilled that aspect in my life through this year. And I love being able to glean off of other men in the ministry. Can I just tell you that right now? I love talking to our Maple Valley guys and hearing what's working for them. I love talking to my friends in California and Spokane and Arizona and San Francisco is California. Hello. But I love talking to these different men of God and say, what's working? Right? What's gleaned from them? Because we're called to glean off of one another. Amen? But I tell you, there is a scary thing, because I think some of the limits that we put on ourselves is not based off of gleaning from one another, but it's based off comparing to one another. I'm talking comparing in a negative way. I'm talking the snare of comparison. Right? My wife and I are so blessed to be surrounded by people with amazing marriages. And I am so grateful, because they give us marriage counseling all the time. And I'm like, I'm so grateful. But tell you what, I can glean from these men. I can glean from these marriages, but I'm not called to compare myself to these men. And my wife and I are not called to compare ourselves to what you're doing in your marriage. And I think there is this comparison trap that we look at what others are doing, and we let those things define the limits of our spiritual influence. We say, oh, well, I guess they're doing that, and so that's as far as we can do it too, right? And God would say, stop comparing yourself. Because here's what I know about comparison, is comparison is never quenched. It can't get enough. It will always want more. It's not good enough. God has not called us to compare ourselves to one another. God has put dreams in your heart, and they will look different than the dreams of your neighbor's heart. Okay, we're called to glean, but we're not called to compare. Our boundaries cannot be set by those around us, but our boundaries have to be set by what God has for us. Okay, that word boundary, if you can imagine that we've all been given a tent, We talked about it last week. And imagine, I don't have a tent this morning, but imagine that this is the space. This little 2.5 by 2.5 space is my boundary. This is it. Okay, a boundary. You all have a property, right? You have property boundaries. In 2 Corinthians 10:13, I want to read this because there is a boundary. Okay, God has put boundaries in our lives. Okay, and in 2 Corinthians 10:13, it says this. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Okay, so we look at that scripture. We've got three words, measure, limits, and sphere. Okay, if you look up those words in the New Testament, they all will mean the same word, and it's the word called metron. Okay, so God has given each and every one of us a metron. It's probably where we get, and I didn't look this up, but it's probably where we get the word meter. Okay, it's a measuring unit, a metron. And if you look at the word metron in the New Testament when it was talked about, it means this. It means a measured boundary, a potential inheritance, a capacity, and limits that God has appointed for you. Listen, God sets limits on our life not to limit us. Okay, God's boundaries are not boundaries to limit, but they're boundaries that we get to occupy. Okay, it's not to limit. Okay, but I think many of us live our lives and we set the boundaries of our own life that we're comfortable with. Well, God, I'll let you go so far. Come on, somebody. God, you can use this aspect of my heart. God, you know, you want me to stretch my tent, but I'm good right now, God, with the 2x2 tent. I'm good reaching the people that I've already reached so far. I'm good, God. And God says, no, would you, Justin, allow me, God, to set the metron of your life? Because many times we think too small. Yeah. Come on. We think too small. We think too limited. We base our spiritual influence based off what we think we can handle. And God says, would you give me some room to move? Would you give me some room to do the impossible through you? Right? God wants to enlarge our metron. He wants to enlarge that boundary where you've set your stakes in your life of this is how it's going to work. And God says, would you pull up those stakes? Come on, imagine like you're camping. You know the stakes I'm talking. Would you pull those things up and would you let me to define the boundaries that I've placed in your life? Come on, hey, Noah, would you come up here? Right, in Paul, in that scripture, he says, our identity is found in the capacity that God has set for us, right? That's where our identity is found. It's not found in the things we can accomplish in our own strength. It's found in the boundaries that God has set for our lives. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about our metron. We're going to be talking about the boundary that exists in our life. And my prayer is this. Would we be defined by the boundaries that God has placed over our lives, over our families, come on, over our church, over what we see in the community? Because I'm always thinking too small when it comes to God. I'm always thinking in my own strength when it comes to God. Would you stand up with me this morning as we get close to dismissing? But I do want to pray over us. But I want you to think about your life. And worship team, you can come too. I called Noah up. You guys can come if you're here. But I want you to think about it in your life. Is there tent pegs, right? Spiritual tent pegs, okay? Is there tent pegs that you've anchored in your life and you've said, this is it, God. You can work in the confines of these things, but that's it. Because I believe over the next 4 weeks, God wants to take those things and he wants to uproot them from the ground and he wants to stretch what you think you can handle. You may be thinking, oh, God wants to work in this little area, but God says, I have so much more that I want to work in. Would you allow me to stretch your life. I believe God wants to fill us with his heart for the lost, for your coworkers. And he says, would you expand your heart? Would you make room in your life and how you think so I can fill it? Amen? That's what he's saying to us. He's saying, will you be stretched? Because here's what I know. And I maybe said this, but it's good to say it again. God wants to enlarge your life. He wants to enlarge the capacity of what you think you can handle. Listen, there's marriages out there that are in desperate need of some hope. And you may be looking at your marriage and thinking, well, hopefully someone else is ready to encourage them. And I want to say to you this morning, God wants to enlarge you so that you can be an influencer in that marriage. Listen, God wants to enlarge you to have a deeper revelation for the hurting, a deeper revelation for the lost, so that you can begin to reach people that you haven't been able to reach in the past. How many want that? Come on. Come on, I've got some friends. I'm sorry. I've got some friends that need an encounter with Jesus, that are broken, that are lost, that would disgust me if I knew really what they were all about. Because they're sin, because they've done things. And my message for them is, there's a God that loves you. Come on. There's people that God wants to use you to reach that you have not reached yet. Would you allow yourself to be stretched? So God, all over this room, Father, just in a sign of a response to you, God, we open our hearts to you. Come on, all over this place, just open your hearts as I've shared. Father, we recognize that you want to stretch us. Father, not just in the physical things, I believe those things come, but Father, you want to stretch our hearts. Father, to think differently than we've thought before. Father, you want us to take some of those spiritual stakes that have limited us, and you want to make some room so you can fill it. Father, we don't want to be one that is limited by our past failures or our past successes. But Father, we want to be marked by the boundaries you set in our lives. So Father, I just pray over this next 4 weeks. Father, at least I give you permission, God, to stretch me, to enlarge my thinking. Father, forgive us for thinking too small in areas of our life when it comes to you. Noah, you got a song we can sing? Come on, can we respond and sing in this song before we dismiss? Come on, lead us, Noah.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, see, there's power. Power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. There's power. There's power that can break off every chain. No. There's power that can be out of grace. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand. Your love, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
So come on, can you this morning, can you in your own heart say yes? Come on, can you say, God, I don't want to be limited any longer by my own failures. Come on, can you just say that I'm not looking for a response this morning other than, God, would you stretch? Other than a response in your own heart to what God's asking. Because I believe as we make room, as we allow ourselves to be stretched over these next 4 weeks and from there on out, okay, that God is going to fill the space. Come on, do you want him to fill the space? Come on, I want him to fill that space. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you. Come back. Invite someone next week because we're going to be talking some more. God bless you. And I'm not going to say go Patriots, but you know what I'm talking about. But God bless you. You are released. Let's go out of here being expanded by God, what he wants to do. You're released.